Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
All right, brief break from the overwhelming news cycle to talk a little about books. August can usually be a slow time for new releases, but not this year. We have Petra Mayer of NPR Books here to tell us about a few of them. Hey, Petra.
Hi, it's always fun to be here with you guys.
And what's up with this August? Why the new releases now?
You know, I can only say it's maybe that time has no meaning right now and we're all just stuck inside.
The endless whatever. What month is it?
I don't know. August is usually pretty dead, but there are a lot of really great releases this month.
Yeah, interesting. Well, okay, on to your selections. First up, we have the book Against White Feminism. It's by Rafia Zakaria. That's a provocative title.
It sure is. That's going to get the hackles up on your inner Karen. But, you know, just sit down, take a breath, and deal with it, right? I mean, because, sure, mainstream Western feminism has, as Rafia Zakaria is reminding us here, it has always been for and about white women. Mm. Our concerns, our agendas have always been taken as universal. We have been sidelining and talking over black and brown women for as long as feminism has existed. And that is messed up. And it's done terrible damage in the world. And it needs to be torn down. And Zakaria pretty much lays it out in these 8 essays showing how the kind of white feminism that we have today has evolved. And then, you know, Zakaria shows us how to break that all down and to rebuild a feminism that includes everyone. That isn't just this default women versus men structure that assumes that all the pieces on the board are white. Mm. It's not a comfortable book, but who needs to be comfortable?
But a book for the moment. Our moment.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You also have a memoir, Seeing Ghosts by Kat Chow, an exploration of grief and the lives of several generations in her Chinese family. I have to say, this is a topic I know about. I've written a book about this as well. Why does this appeal to you?
I have to say, this is NPR's own Kat Chow. I have to disclose my own personal interest because I love Kat. Mm. She's a wonderful person and a really great writer. Yeah, I kind of can't wait to see what you think of this book. You know, I was a show producer for a long time on NPR, and all those years I couldn't listen to public radio because it was like too close. But I think that you will love this book because actually it's Kat's experience, I think, in radio that makes it so lovely to read. She puts you in the scene so directly. I mean, first, this is a story about her coming to terms with, you know, her grief over her mother's death, and woven through it is the story of her mother's life and her marriage. And this could be a heavy story, but it's got this marvelous mixture of poetry and dry humor. You know, like it starts with this story about she's a little kid and they're in Maine on vacation and they're at L.L. Bean and she gets scared by the taxidermy bear that's at the L.L. Bean in Maine. Yeah. And her mom is like, you know, when I die, will you stuff me? And then she sort of has this idea about like being a grown up and like drinking orange juice in her kitchen with her taxidermied mom.
Yeah.
But it's also beautifully evocative, right? Like, and coming back to this idea of being a radio writers put you in the scene, and reading her book, you can taste that orange juice. You can hear the newspaper rustle. You can feel the living room carpet under your hand. This is just a lovely, lovely book.
Yeah, well, all right. So you and I will gather to talk after I've read this and share our thoughts. Okay, let's turn to fiction here. On your list, you have My Heart is a Chainsaw by Stephen Graham Jones. Okay, what a title.
Yeah. Even if you don't like horror, which I super do not, you should still make time for a Stephen Graham Jones book. And this one is great. It's about a girl named Jade living in a small rural lake town. She's half Native American. Her father is an abusive jerk. Her mom is gone. She's kind of an outcast. And all she cares about in life is slasher movies. They're like the frame that she sees her whole life through. And she like narrates her whole life as a slasher movie, right? So you know that, of course, there's actually going to be a murder.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's going to hit like the rich people that live in the gentrified end of her town. And she's seen so many slasher movies that she like immediately assumes that something terrible is going on beyond just a murder, and she figures out what's actually going to happen. And Stephen Graham Jones does something that's super genius here, which is that like, if you haven't seen any horror movies, it doesn't matter, because Jade is always, like, recognizing and calling out the tropes that she sees happening. I love stuff like that.
Yeah, right. If you don't have the narrative arc, she gives it to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I still don't like horror movies, though. I mean, I'm a wuss. They give me nightmares. But I'll read a Stephen Graham Jones book any day.
Yeah, I'm with you on yes to the book and no to the films. Okay, now, I understand you're a fan of sci-fi fantasy.
You betcha.
And your next pick by Jordan Ifueko falls into that basket. What stands out here?
Okay, so I have to cop to the fact that I'm only halfway through this book. Because
we
I
won't
love
tell.
The,
it's only on the radio.
Yeah, because I love the main character, Tari Sai, so much. And I'm at that part of any fantasy sequel where everything is going wrong and it looks bad and it's so stressful and I can't bear it. And I had to put the book down and go do something else. But the reviewer that I have assigned to this book just emailed me, and they said they're going to file their piece soon, and they loved the book.
Oh, wow.
I'm feeling encouraged, and I'm going to go back to it soon.
Yeah, what's going to make you get back to it? What is going to allow you back in?
Ray Bearer, which is the first book, came out last summer. It was one of those occasional books that fall through the cracks. And when I discovered it weeks after everyone else did, I wanted to kick myself because it's this brilliant, fresh, young adult fantasy from a Nigerian-American author. It's about a girl whose mysterious mother sends her to kill the crown prince of their country. And instead, she discovers her own powers and she ends up becoming the empress alongside him. And that's where we find her in the second book. Only now, of course, she's having to actually rule, and she's dealing with this dangerous treaty that she made in the first book, and angry spirits and her friends are all getting weird, and that's kind of where I noped out. So, like, it's also stressful, like, please be okay, Tari Sai, please be okay.
Well, you know, it's so much easier to take power than to rule.
Yeah, now you
right?
have to deal with it, exactly.
Now you're in charge, yep.
But I'm going to come back to it because I know that this character is so interesting and complex and well-rounded and underneath it all smart and competent that I know she can do it. So I'll come back to watch her handle things.
On the topic of sci-fi and fantasy, the results of the NPR Summer Reader Poll are out, and you asked for readers' favorite science fiction and fantasy books of the past decade. So what'd you find? Anything predictable? Any surprises?
So the thing about this poll is that it's not a straight-up popularity poll. Because otherwise it would be like the same five things over and over again.
Yep.
So what we do is we ask people to send in their favorites, and then we take kind of the top 250 and we send it to a panel of expert judges, and they take those and kind of add and subtract and kind of come up with a final list, in this case of 50. And actually, weirdly, the big surprise this year was that the judges had to make almost no changes. The big surprise was that our readers' taste overlapped really closely with what the judges thought was good. The big non-surprise was that N.K. Jemisin crushed all comers. She is the first person to win three Hugos back-to-back for three books in a series for the Broken Earth trilogy, which is an incredible series, which if you have not read it, you really should.
I haven't, okay.
I'm just really proud of the list. There's been an explosion of change in science fiction and fantasy over the past 10 years. New voices, more diversity, more women coming into the field, more perspectives, stylistic changes. There's just so much cool stuff going on. And we wanted to reflect that and celebrate that. And I think that has really come through in these 50 books.
Yeah, wow. With this somewhat stamp of peer review approval from the experts. Yeah, yeah. Okay, and finally, Petra, we know you love a happy ending, so let's deliver that. The Heart Principle by Helen Huang. Go.
So, yeah, Helen Huang, this is her third book. So if you've read her other two, you will be happy to recognize the main character, Quan. He is the tattooed motorcycle-riding brother of Kai from The Bride Test and the cousin of Michael from The Kiss Quotient. But having said all that, you can also read this as a standalone. Anna, the love interest, is an incredibly talented violinist who's struggling with burnout. I'm not going to get into the details of how she gets together with Quan, because that's the good stuff. But the glory of any good romance, right, is how two people get to know themselves almost as much as they get to know each other, because that's how they become worthy of each other. They know themselves so that they can know each other. And Anna, like a lot of Helen Huang's characters, is autistic, because Huang herself is autistic, something that she discovered while she was writing her first book. And Anna realizes this about herself in a very powerful way over the course of the story. So if you want a good cry, a real catharsis, and a happy ending, this is a real good book for you.
Well, and with what's happening in the world, perhaps we need that now. We've been talking with Petra Mayer of NPR Books. Go to hereandnow.org for her picks and the results of our reader poll. Petra, great to have you.
Always my pleasure.